so that you can be provided with a copy. All right, and I'm happy the chairperson of the committee on, it's a portfolio committee on small business development is here. And now that you're here, we will co-chair the meeting. Thank you for coming. All right, shall we then start in terms of the agenda? We're on item number one, opening and welcome. Shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence for prayer or meditation? Thank you. We will quickly zoom on to apologies. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, co-chairpersons, honourable members, minister and guests. We received from the Standing Committee on Appropriations, we received three apologies. They are from Ms. Manana, who is off sick, Mr. Seki Mam is celebrating Eid, and then Mr. Menira is a standing apology. Furthermore, the Minister for Small Business Development indicated that she will have to leave the meeting early. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, okay, let me start with Honourable Member McLaughlin, and then yourself, sir, and then, yeah.
Thank you, Madam. Please note that I'll need to leave the meeting at midday today at 12. Thank you.
So you have to leave the meeting at 12, so I think that has an impact on our work because there are minutes that have got to be adopted, meaning that we really have got to be so focused so that come 12 o'clock at least we should have adopted even the minutes that need to be adopted by this meeting. Okay, your hand was up, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Good morning, Minister and Honourable Members from the Portfolio Committee on Small Business Development. We've got an apology of Honourable Papa, an apology of Honourable Reverend Mishwe, and the apology of Honourable Mwabe. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And another apology from Honourable Kruger from the Small Business Committee.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Members, we've received apologies. Do we accept the apologies? Honourable Mabasa?
I move we accept apologies.
Any seconder? Seconded. Thank you very much. You know, I'd like us to do introductions, but the way we are many, it might take, you know, our time. So maybe we should skip it. Skip the apologies. Yeah. Hey, otherwise, we don't have time. You've heard people will be leaving around 12 o'clock, and I really need them to be here when we finish. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. So let's skip the apologies. But as members rise and speak, can you please introduce yourself? When you speak, you introduce yourself so that you know exactly. Okay. Who you are. All right, we'll then move on to item number three, which is presentation by the Department of Small Business Development. Thank you very much for coming, Honorable Minister, and even last time you did come, we are not taking that lightly. Thank you so much. And indeed, when you are here, you also add value to our work, but also help us to make an impact on your work. Thank you. So I will then hand over to the Honourable Minister to give us an overview. We've just, in defining our work, we have also defined the role of the Minister in the meeting. And we all have agreed that indeed the role of the Minister is to come and account. As the DG accounts to the Minister then comes and accounts to Parliament. But we'll hand over to, it's up to you, if you feel like delegating. So meaning that if you said to us you want to present, we'll be so happy. for you to do the presentation, but if you want to delegate, it's up to you. We can't stop you. Thank you very much. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and your co-chair. I wish to thank you for this opportunity and indicate that this is the second time that we are here in the 3 years of our department, and we obviously do not take lightly the responsibility that we have to come and account to Parliament in general, because we have a full appreciation of the oversight role that has to be played by all committees and standing committees. I am, Chairperson, going to request that the DG makes the presentation. I would have been able to make the presentation because I do understand that when you speak about the role of the minister being that of accounting, I fully appreciate that and agree with you. But unfortunately today I have to catch a flight, which unfortunately is in the morning, to go to BRICS in China. So I have to be out of this place at least by 9:30 if I'm to catch the flight. I decided that even though I have to catch the flight, I do need to come in and at least make the broad political outline, and then request that the DG and the team who are all here to be able to deal with the presentation itself. The DG will make the presentation, but also request that your usual and the members' usual vigorousness in wanting answers from the department, and nobody must be hindered from doing that, because through your engagement with yourselves also we get new perspectives and sometimes questions that we have not asked ourselves, and it is here that we get we get some of those questions. The first thing that I would like to say, Chairperson, is that for the department there are certain there are certain things that we need to do and try and do very well. The first one is related to program implementation, because if we have programs that we have come here and presented and said we need to present, we have to be able to do so and be able to show to yourselves that we have been able to implement, but also be able to show where are the successes, where are the challenges, and what we plan to do with those. And so the DG, when the DG is presenting, she will be able to go into all the programs that we have as a department. I also do obviously understand the fact that we have very specific questions that were asked of us, but I think it will be important for the DG to do the general of those the programs that we have. The second one that I think is also important is it's about the impact of those programs that we have on the ground and the impact on your small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. The Chairperson always speaks to us about the felt needs of these cooperatives and SMMEs, and we believe that whatever we do needs to be based on their needs on the ground, and I think we will be able to show how far we have been able to do that. And I want to upfront say that yes, there are challenges, and challenges that in my view are not insurmountable. They are challenges that need us to be able to say 3 years in office, what would be the next things that we need to do to improve on the 3 years of experience and implementation of our programs. One of the challenges that I think we need to really focus on, which you do have in your question, relates to under expenditure. One of the things that I believe is important is for the department to check the year-on-year expenditure and look at it particularly from the time that we started, because I see that under expenditure seems to be growing, and therefore we need to find out what is it that makes it to be growing, because we can't afford it. At the end of the day, it's the people on the ground that need the money. The other one, which I think is very important for me, is around partnerships. We have our transversal agreements from a government-to-government point of view, but also we need to look at outside partnerships. And this I raise, Chairperson, because my experience of the 3 years clearly has said to me, there is no way that this department on its own can be able to serve and support small and medium enterprises with its entities. Therefore, we need to look for those opportunities within the government expenditure, which is huge. We need to look at that huge government expenditure. Where are the opportunities for small and medium enterprises? But don't end there, but also say, how do we ensure that those SMMEs are aware of the opportunities, number one, but number two, they have the capacity, because it's also about competitiveness here. You can say there are opportunities here and there, and then when you go around, you find that the majority of your SMMEs, in particularly black-owned, women-owned, youth-owned, might not be able to take advantage of the opportunities that are there. But also, Chairperson, it is about partnerships with the private sector. And I would never forget, I always think about this, because when I arrived here, one of the things that Honorable Chance said was that there is a trust deficit between government and the private sector. And I took that seriously to say, why is there a trust deficit? Because if there's a trust deficit and we can see ourselves, the amount of money that sits with the private sector in trillions, which is supposed to be able to assist us in boosting the economy, we need to be able to engage and engage vigorously to make sure that that trust deficit that was spoken of is broken down. And I think in the 3 years that we've been in office, I don't think we have done enough to make sure that in the partnership with the private sector, we maximize what is available in as far as enterprise development is concerned, in as far as support for SMMEs and so forth. So I think those are some of the real critical areas that I think are very important for us. I also, Honorable Chair and members, wish to express that still the National Development Plan is at the center of what we have to do in terms of preparing our programs and adjusting our programs where we have to adjust, because we believe that we do things that are within our power as a national department. And in our department, obviously, we deal with research, policy, legislation, regulation, monitoring and evaluation, design and fund programs and instruments. So we know that the programs, and I think the DG will speak to the programs, as I said earlier on, the ones that we have. What we need to do is, are we doing right by the implementation of those programs? And are those programs having the necessary impact? And my belief is that we have to work smartly and relinquish unnecessary bureaucracy, which can only be a problem for supporting small and medium enterprises. I think that we need to approach our work with the right attitude. We say we care, we belong, we serve, and we need to do that with a sense of urgency. And the 3 years of our work obviously shows that there are quite a number of challenges that we are facing, from human resource to a whole lot of others which we are facing that need to be improved. But we are sure that efficiency and effectiveness is important. We know that we are supposed by 2030 to deliver an enabling ecosystem for a vibrant SMME and cooperatives, expanding enterprise sectors yielding between 60 to 80% of GDP and 90% of the 11 million jobs. Now, if we look at those figures as indicated by the National Development Plan, we cannot on our own be able to ensure that we reach these figures. We also understand that in order to deliver on this Vision 2030, between 350,000 and 400,000 new businesses must be established and sustained per annum. We also know that we as a department, we cannot establish those businesses on our own, nor the rest of government for that matter. We know that our responsibility in the main is to create the environment for entrepreneurs, private sector, civil society, organized business to transform the structure, ownership and patterns of the economy of South Africa. Chairperson, I think in the presentation, and I'm sure yourselves too, you would also be very vigorous in dealing with the whole issue of the structure of the economy of South Africa, because this is not something that's just a slogan or something that other people think they need to shout about. Or it's real. And for me, the Minister of Small Business Development, when I am called and when I see the letters that come in and when I see the challenges that are faced by small and medium enterprises, we can have all the good things that we have here. But if they don't have access to the market, it's almost meaningless for us. If the structure of the economy does not enable them to really enter into the economy, it becomes a very big challenge. And I am sure that at the end of the day, we need to focus that one of the economy, the structure, the ownership and all, again, cannot be something that can be sorted or changed by the Department of Small Business Development alone. It is something that government, together with all the others, I've said, civil society and all, need to deal with, and I think that they will be, because I can see from the time that we started to now, I can even see a bit on the private sector, the shift in terms of the private sector thinking about not ticking in the box, but really focusing on supporting small and medium enterprises as well as cooperatives. Chairperson, my view is that the real vexing issue is that there's no single line of truth in terms of the number of SMMEs and cooperatives in the country or their contribution to the GDP and job creation. The most reliable is the data from Stats SA and SARS, and I'm just going to quickly go through that. However, nine of these are able to routinely report on the large informal sector in our township economies and rural towns, as statistically the estimated 1.7 million informal businesses are invisible unit of measurement. As these businesses are not compliant, they are in the blind spots of statistician. And again, we have engaged with Statistician General because we believe that we do need to have that partnership, so that because we don't have the capacity also as a department to be able to do the research, but these statistics that are coming through, they are very helpful. Nonetheless, 69.2% of people decided to start an informal business due to unemployment and having no alternative source of income, and therefore we take the informal business very seriously also, because we believe that government's approach to dealing with issues of poverty, unemployment and inequality, part of the people that we are talking about here would be able to assist us as government to ensure that there is a change in that triple challenges that we are talking about. The number of business persons running informal declined from 2.3 million in 2001 to 1.1 million in 2009 before increasing to 1.5 in 2013. According to quarterly financial statistics of December 2016, the private sector earned a total of 2.3 trillion in turnover during the last quarter of 2016. Large businesses contributed almost two-thirds, which is 60%, to the total, followed by SMEs 31% and medium businesses at 9%. This is where we need to focus. How do we increase the figures in as far as small and medium enterprises are concerned? According to the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, CIPC, the number of registered co-ops increased from 4,000 in 2010-11 to 120,000 in 2015. However, here is the catch again. The increase, what does that increase mean in terms of sustainability? What does that increase mean in terms of ensuring that those cooperatives we are talking about are high-value cooperatives? value of co-op's contribution to the economy declined from 2.2 billion in 2011 to 7.1 billion in 2012. Other sterling statistics, this is 2015, yes. Other sterling statistics are that only 27.3% of qualifying SMMEs are funded by the Development Finance Institution. And I do want to say here, Chairperson, that this issue of development developmental finance institutions is a challenge in as far as support, in as far as turnaround time, in as far as ensuring that the conditions that are put on them are conditions which are enabling rather than conditions which do not enable SMMEs to function. Only 2% startups approach DFIs or commercial banks for startup capital. Instead, they use their own meager resources or turn to family and friends. And we understand, again, from a South African perspective, how many of those SMMEs really can turn to family when family itself does not have anything. And therefore, my experience of the 3 years is clear. Black people in particular, women in particular, youth-owned enterprises are the ones who suffer most because they're all coming from families in the rural areas, in townships and so forth, and they do not have the money. However, I must indicate that we must not discourage those SMMEs who are able to tap into the resources from family or friends or whatever, because at the end of the day, it's important for us to also indicate to SMMEs that it cannot be that they entirely depend on government for their survival, but government, on the other hand, when it makes promises, when it says we've got this finance and we've got we've got to be able to support them. Chairperson, these are but some of the dynamics we are grappling with in our pursuit to unlock and keep all cogs of the ecosystem operating in harmony at the same time to deliver our mandate. It is about the ecosystem. Ultimately, it's about the ecosystem that we use. We can confidently state that we have championed small business development. Small business know that there is a department and there is a CEDA and CIFA, our agencies which are established to serve them, and that CIFA and CEDA have got a wider net in the country, much more than the department itself. But I must indicate, Chairperson, that here we also are looking at strong partnership between the three spheres of government. One of the things that we are very vigorous about is to say that if there is no cooperation and coordination between the three spheres of government, then it becomes very difficult for the Department of Small Business Development on its own to be able to support. Daily we are approached by individuals, companies, organizations presenting us with their creative ideas, new opportunities, brilliant success stories, and their aspirations. Chairperson, I must say, when I look at the time we started in 2014 and now, this particular element is that we're getting also a lot of young people who are very vibrant, who are very creative, who are coming to us and saying, we want to partner with you, DSBD, because we can see that in partnership we can succeed. And then when I attend cluster or cabinet meetings, I can sit back because sometimes many a times my colleagues are beginning to speak to the issues of SMMEs without me policing them. And I think when I look at where we were 3 years ago when we started to now, and it's quite interesting and humbling sometimes to see that ministers of different departments come to meetings and say, here is our strategy for support of SMMEs. We have, for instance, in the department, we talk of the oceans economy, telecommunications. Those are departments who are coming to us and saying, We've heard you. We know you don't have the capacity to be checking within the ocean's economy or in ICT or in anything. You don't have the capacity to know what's happening there. We know what's happening there. We know what the expenditure is. We can be able to give you a brief as to what is available so that you can then be able to organize and mobilize SMMEs to take advantage of that government, the government opportunities. Hence, I said earlier on, what I think is also important is for us to get those SMMEs ready to take the opportunities. Chairperson, then we have to balance all these against the reality. And the reality, obviously, is that we were established in 2014, and our 2015-2016 was the first year that the budget vote 31 began to operate in earnest. We achieved an unqualified audit in terms of our maiden management performance assessment tool rating. We were found to be compliant and achieved an overall score of 3%. That's impact for those who... We exceeded the public service target of percent SMS staff being women and staff people with disabilities, with this being 52% and 2.3% respectively. And Honorable Chair, you will agree with me that it is a commendable baseline. It's just a baseline, and it's 3 years in that baseline. We're not looking at this and thinking because we've been able to achieve this, therefore we have to relax. We have to improve on what we are presenting here. 2016-2017, our second year of operation of Budget Vote 31, the first during which we operated independent of DTI policies and procedures, except for our ICT system. We sustained our unqualified audit report, sustained 2015-2016 levels of respect. I don't want to repeat that. In addition, Chair, on youth employment, we are proud to report that 33.1% of our staff are under 35 Fountain of Youth, that's what I call it. Yes. Fountain of Youth, because we need to keep a balance, obviously, young people and older people. 38 of these cadres are women, and one of them is a very capable SMS member, our Chief of Staff and Audit Executive, Nobuhle Buthelezi, who is present today. She's new, isn't she? Yes, she's new, and well, you're not new anymore, Nobuhle. You're not new anymore. This dimension is not routinely measured. It is a target we have set in order not to harvest what the market delivery by chance. We are determined to grow our own timber. Chairperson, we do not always get everything right. That is a fact, and I think that your co-chair there sitting next to you, members of the portfolio committee, will clearly express that, because we are not able to get everything right, but we do our best, and we are very alive to at all times. And sometimes I personally get very annoyed to the flaws and limitations that we have, but I've got a job to do, so annoyance on its own is not helpful. It's a question of what do I do to make sure that our performance is better than what it is. Now, notwithstanding that, Chairperson, it is these attributes we are building that create confidence, unlocks new opportunities, to name a few. We succeeded in unlocking a multi-year 52 million euros multi-fund to create employment through SMMEs. Our team, as far back as December 2015, started to conceptualize this project with the EU together with Treasury. By the way, we've been working very closely with Treasury. This fund will become operational later this year, and I think it would be of interest to members to find out from the department the focus of that fund. Together with National Treasury, we will soon be announcing the new, you know, I don't like putting the figure to it, because we still have to negotiate also on the basis that we understand the current financial challenges that we have. You will recall that the private sector put 1.5 billion, which we're still waiting on, and we have to have a meeting with them. We need to have this government enterprise development and innovation fund. There has already been an agreement as far as that is concerned. Government overall is agreeing to that, it will be a question of finding the money. Hopefully it can be 1 point something billion, as just like the other private sector fund. It might sound insignificant to those who enjoy abundance, but for the millions we serve who do not have any surplus, the business equipment valued at 500,000 donated by a private company to 7 cooperatives in the Free State last week was a major and very welcome windfall. This is about that engagement with the private sector on saying what is it that they can be able to give back. And this is a CIA, I think it's CIA. Where's Jeff? It's CIA, no? It's called CIA. Yeah. The company that that donated the 500,000. We're looking at such opportunities where they buy equipment that has to be distributed amongst deserving cooperatives and SMMEs. And Chairperson, our assertion is that it is DSPD, DSPD were found to be a basket case or wanting in terms of governance, it would not have been entrusted with stewardship of these resources. And we are, and I know, Chairperson, that this is but one element of a number of others who, some of them, they do it without necessarily having to come to the department to say that they are doing that. I wish, Chairperson, in closing to my introductory remarks, I want to provide further governance assurance and report that in addition to regular bilateral meetings with the DG and top 3 meetings with the Deputy Minister and the DG, we have been very consistent, because one of the things that becomes a problem is when you are Minister, Deputy Minister, DG, and we find ourselves being pulled left, right and center, but we have made sure that we keep to those meetings, because that's the only way we can be able to manage our situation. We are committed to quarterly MINExco meetings where we meet with the DG and SMS team. And these meetings, the Deputy Minister and I receive and interrogate quarterly performance reports. We ask the difficult questions and we require officials to reflect on the lessons learned. An analysis of the root causes of variances, accept improvement reports on these at the next MINExco. We expect this in the next MINExco. I have introduced quarterly meetings with boards of entities, which we did have the meetings, but they were not like very structured, and now they are structured because it is important for us to make sure that our entities also respond to the needs of SMMEs. And I know that we have lots of letters that come through of people complaining about our entities, complaining about the turnaround time, complaining about a whole range of things. Those letters that we receive, we always send to the entities for them to try and deal with them. But also we believe that the monitoring and evaluation by our department is something that the department needs to strengthen the mechanism for doing that with the entities. Also, I have met with the audit committee and I've met with the auditor general just so as to make sure that our systems are also, our response to the questions that are raised by the audit committee or the auditor general. We've had that meeting so that we can be able to share experiences, and they've been there long. Auditor General has been there forever. But I think I'd like, in closing, Chairperson, to also say that one of the things that the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee also speaks to is the issue of our systems and the manner in which our systems respond, including that issue of the Auditor General. Not to say that we want not to be on the wrong side of the Auditor General. We cannot afford to be on the wrong side of the Auditor General. But there are just certain things that we need to engage on so that even the Auditor General, there is that understanding of our role from a developmental point of view, and not just the Auditor General thinking, me, I'm like this and I'm just going to tick in the box. There's got to be an understanding that they also need to help us so that we can be able to deliver. Thank you, Chair. Sorry that I took that long, but I thought that it's necessary for me to lay the basis, especially because I'm not going to be here. If I was here, I would have spoken short and then be able to contribute as the questions come through. Thank you very much, Chair.
Honourable Minister, thank you so much for, I will say, at least preparing us for the presentation by your department and for, I'm quoting you, for the robust engagement on that presentation. I promise you, with the members sitting here, we'll try and not be personal and focus on real issues that will assist the department or in taking the department to greater heights. But what is key to us, Honourable Minister, so that when you leave, you should know what would be our areas of focus. As the appropriations, immediately after recommending for adoption of the appropriation bill, we then follow the money. In doing that, we use an instrument, which I call an instrument, it's the National Treasury's quarterly report, expenditure report that they submit to us. When we get that report, we would then scan all the 40 departments and then prioritize those that we think should appear before us so that we can engage with the department. And if there are gaps, we then agree on a turnaround strategy. We are more on a turnaround and people correcting so that you assist us in ensuring that the broader community trusts this government with the manner in which we conduct ourselves in our work. I think that so we follow the money and value for money. Of course, then the other area of focus would be on whether the department has been able to pay service providers within the 30 days that is prescribed by the PFMA, and also look at fruitless and wasteful expenditure where there is one. Of course, our area of concern in the main becomes over expenditure and under expenditure, because in terms of the PFMA, over expenditure beyond 2% and under expenditure beyond 2%, those are an offense. Let's put it straight. They're an offense, and we would want the accounting officer to at least ensure that the department stays or does whatever, even in terms of innovation, but within the parameters of the law. So it's just about that. Okay, but thank you so much. Indeed, we appreciate your presence and for preparing the ground for us now to get down to business. Okay, we will then allow the DG to give us the presentation. Honourable members, let's listen carefully, and also in our engagement, I'm looking forward to a constructive and meaningful engagement. Over to you, ma'am.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson of the Standing Committee, Chairperson of our Portfolio Committee, and honourable members present. Chair, I also want to introduce the whole delegation, but I'm supported by my DDGs, and we've got a new cadre of acting DDGs this year, but those who were responsible last year are present. Okay. I also have next to me the Chief Executive Officer of CEDA, and she is accompanied by the Chairperson of the CEDA Risk and Audit Committee, Mr. Lesenjani. Next to her is the CEO of CIFA, so that they are able to answer. And I also, by as per your request, he's even behind the pillar, though, the chairperson of our audit committee, Mr. Ayanda Wakaba. Chair, we have confined ourselves to the questions that you have addressed in the letter, and it is on the fourth quarter expenditure. And we also respected the fact that you were specific and said you do not want presentations of longer than 20 slides. So we've done that, but everybody's here to answer some of the gaps. So, Chair, that would be the outline of the presentation. And I won't read all of that, but it's my view that that outline and that series of slides, Travel Well Minister, is response to the questions that you have asked. So in course of four, Chair, we've provided just an overall summary. We had 34 performance indicators, but for the quarter, the annual indicators, but for the quarter, we only had 37. So you will see that there is three programs. We also had three branches, and the performance in terms of achievement, the administration and policy research branch received achieving 84.6 and 80% of their our targets, and the program design, where our core business lies, 71.4. And then we reflect on partial achievement, and just to say, Chair, the legend which we ourselves, the department and the entities use, we consider achieved 100% and above. Partially achieved is 75 to 99%, and not achieved is anything below 74% and below. And then we have, we say in the two columns on the right, the last two columns on the right, we reflect what the budget was for quarter four and the expenditure in each of those programs. I will provide the detail as we go forward on the over and under expenditure. So that is just the overall expenditure differently, that our we spent 96.1% of our budget. The actual numbers are reflected there, and we had an under expenditure of 10 million in 10.9 million in the quarter. So in this slide, Chair, we also present, you have indicated that your interest is the money that we've been entrusted with, and that you follow that. And so we just take the performance each of the programs differently, what we spent, the variance, what the projections were, etc. The actual amount spent and the percentage overall. So then, Chair, we thought that your questions 3, bullet points 3 to 4, where you said highlight the areas of under expenditure, the performance information, the targets achieved and not achieved, and the service delivery implications, we thought we will do it in this way, where we have explained the reasons for under and over expenditure, what the value was, the reasons, and the service delivery implications, and we do this by program. So in the administration branch, Chair, there was an over expenditure of 5.9 million, and the expenditure for compensation of employees was higher than expected in quarter four in program one, because we were able to conclude the filling of several posts. We are committed to reducing our vacancy rate, and the overall impact of that was, by the end of the financial year, we achieved a vacancy rate of 9.3% overall, which was lower than the public service standard of 10%. In terms of goods and services, there was an over-expenditure of 2.5 million. It was for computer services, because the service provider generated the invoice late. It was an expenditure that was expected in quarter three, which didn't happen, which didn't have to be, we had to absorb in quarter four, and also We paid for the 900,000 for audit fees. In terms, the goods and services in the first, which I spoke to, I gave the wrong information, Chair, I'm sorry, was for computer services. Until this time, you know that the majority of our staff migrated from Department of Trade and Industry, and we're still using computers that they had brought along with them, and we provided colleagues with new equipment. And the capital assets, I've explained that one. There was 25,000 rand for leave discounting, and I think that is a startling figure, Chair, in terms of people who were not able to take leave due to operational pressures. We don't do much of this, but we then paid out some leave. And then there were debt that we wrote off. There's a program we have called Techno Girls, in 2015 we carried this debt for a long time, and these high school learners were given an advance, and on the reconciliation they did not owed the department, they didn't account as they should have, and they we tried to go after the money for a few years, and then we realized that that was not possible, and we wrote that off. And we also, how we deal with that now, we no longer give external stakeholders, where we do support them, advances. We have a system, rather, of people having to claim back. Chair, then, in the policy and research branch, this was the first year, Chair, that we introduced a policy and research function. And so we had had a very small budget, really. I think the budget was about 26 million, and we had an under expenditure of 1.7 million in that branch. The one area was on compensation of employment, where we had an under expenditure of one million, just over 1 million, and this was largely had to do with a vacant DDG position. Chair, we created this post because we thought it was very necessary, but we were unable to fill it because by that time our structure wasn't approved yet. And the position remained vacant for the entire year, and despite this, Chair, it was a branch, as I said, we put in the colleagues that we thought were most interested and capable of delivering on a research mandate, and they performed extremely well. There was also an under expenditure of 961,000, and this was due to the delay in finalizing some of the research projects. One was the 2016 annual review, which we thought would be concluded in last year, and the SMME ecosystem research. If I can speak just to, I must also just say that we completed very seminal studies in our view, a multi-year research agenda, and we concluded research on which we commissioned on the definitions of SMMEs, which was necessary for the review of the National Small Enterprise Act, which we will bring into the parliamentary system in next year. And with the 2016 annual review, with the first tender that we put out, Chair, the service providers were proposing very, very small samples. In fact, the bidder that succeeded was only going to do a sample of 50. And we thought we cannot possibly, with an SMME sector, a business sector, where you had 2.3 million SMMEs in the country, how could you do a sample with 50 and the level of recommendations that we could make would not be reliable. And therefore we had to re-advertise it, and the bid was only allocated later in the year. So that work will be concluded during the course of this year. My colleagues can give the exact date if that is needed. And on the SMME ecosystem research, we also, due to the capacity issues and because it was a new area that the colleagues were working in, where the bid went out late and the research was not concluded by the end of the financial year, it is now concluded, Chair. Then on the integrated strategy on the promotion of entrepreneurship and small enterprises, we had planned to review that. However, during the course of the year, after we had established this function, we received significant support from the Department of Planning, Monitoring, and Evaluation. And they then decided, as that strategy was first approved in 2007, they thought that it was time that it is subjected to an impact evaluation. And therefore, they made the strategy part of the annual national evaluation plan, which is approved by Cabinet. That being so, Chairperson, we then decided that it was not prudent to do a review of the strategy, that we should wait on the outcome of the research by DPME and base our review on their findings. So, Chair, I am happy. I think that the reasons for the under-expenditure, at least two of them, are reasonable. Then there was some expenditure on capital assets, which is explained there. We could only reverse the projections in quarter four. In program design, Chair, as our minister has said, this is our core business area. Our department has such a small budget, and it is unacceptable that we were not able to spend all of that money, given the incredible need. I will explain where how that 14.9 million in quarter four and the expenditure is distributed. The one pertained to the compensation of employees, where there was an under expenditure due to the vacant DDG, Deputy Director General positions, and we also had positions for data capturers and processors in our NEBUS program. Sorry for not explaining that abbreviation. NEBUS is a National Informal Business Upliftment Strategy. The vacant post was occupied by an acting person, and yes, Chair, it induced capacity pressures. And the NEBUS team, when they could not have all of the people needed to implement, they worked under enormous pressure. They were able. We had a target of supporting 7,000 informal traders. They supported the informal traders with training, but were able to register them on our database, but we were not able to support the traders with business infrastructure, with that is part of the package that we offer informal traders. Therefore, you will see later there was a significant under expenditure a terrible under-expenditure in the NEBUS program. On goods and services, there we had recorded an over-expenditure of 6.3 million, and that was largely due to an expenditure that we had not planned for, but an opportunity we could not miss, and we got permission for later on. We even got cabinet approval, was the very successful Global Entrepreneurship Congress, which we hosted together with the global community and the movement in March of this year. And then the capital assets, the explanation, there was a 643 over expenditure as explained there, and it's the same is the case for the previous branch. Then, Chair, there was under expenditure of about 19 million rand for which is spread across three programs. So one was for the cooperative's incentive scheme, Chair, where we had planned to support 45 cooperatives. We only supported 43 cooperatives. And but what we learned very late in the year, you will remember, Chair, our minister was saying, we operated independently from the DTI for the first time last year, but the one area that we were so dependent and continue to be dependent on them is in respect of ICT. And so there were problems, and so they generate the approval letters, and then there were some problems there, and they were unable to issue letters to the successful applicants until it was brought to our attention. We had a DG-to-DG intervention, but we could not catch up with the backlog. So I think the backlog started building up from the third quarter. In the Black Business Supplier Program, we exceeded expenditure in quarter four because we exceeded the expenditure in quarter three, and therefore, if we balanced it out, we approved the number, supported the number of SMMEs we had planned to, but we balanced out the expenditure. So overall for the year, the expenditure for the BBSDB was minimal. Chair, on the Enterprise Incubation Program, we had a significant under-expenditure. This was a new program which we piloted in 2016-17. We recognize that CEDA are the experts in incubation. But our job is we adopt the policy perspective. We test new programs, we pilot it, and after the pilot phase and we've sorted out the glitches, if that is the point at which we will transfer to our entity. And we were piloting incubators of enterprises that were market ready. We made a mistake in our planning, Chair. If you are introducing a new program for the first time with effect 1st of April, you still have to put in place your systems. You have to be advertising. You've got to be the dynamics of introducing something new. We should not have expected to expend within the first quarter. And there were several delays. Ultimately, Chair, by the end of the year, we reached the target of approving seven incubators, but we could not spend all the money that was allocated because there are certain conditions. They get a first tranche. Reporting, and if they are compliant, there's inspections, and they can get a second tranche. So by the end of the financial year, we had only could only make one transfer. But we had valid contractual arrangements with each of the EIPs, we applied to Treasury for a rollover, and we were very delighted that Treasury agreed to roll over the funds. Then we had a program, one of our new programs, Chair the Gazelles, which we are very proud of in terms of what it achieves, because it really creates new opportunities and puts high value, high impact, high performing enterprises that are about 2 years old on a new growth trajectory, but we did not have a line item for it. We then transferred 15 million from NEBUS, that was our area of underspending, to fund the Gazelles. And then we also transferred a further 4.1 million to CEDA for their capacity building program. And Chair, there was an overall, there was an under expenditure of 45 million, under expenditure of 45 million and money which had to be returned to the fiscus in respect of NEBUS. And if one considers the support that informal traders need, we took this expenditure very, very seriously. So Chair, we previously showed you the slides. Chair's my assertion that I've responded to the areas of over and under expenditure. We, in this slide, just put it in the information differently, where we explain the expenditure patterns for quarter four as per economic classification rather than by programs. In terms of the findings on the AG's findings, there were about 54 findings, and I can say, Chair, the audit committee can talk to it. What the audit committee required was that each of the branches come and address the audit committee and speak to each of the areas of concern raised by both the Auditor General and internal audit, and account for if there were management responses and commitments, what has been done about it. Our CFO can provide the details on this slide, Chair, but what our assertion is that we have resolved all of the findings by the end of the quarter except for payroll certificates. It continues to be a problem, Chair. While we call it out, what we're required to do is that managers, there are some officials who get paid on the 15th and others that get paid on the 30th, and managers must sign with it. 5 days. Must sign on or before payday, and submit to finance within 5 days. Now, given the work that we do, it often managers are not in the office or managers are on leave, and we haven't refined. I think we have far less incidents of where there is a non-compliance, where the certificates come in late. What I can assure the committee is that we do not have any ghost employees. We are too small a department, but that is an area where we still have challenges. Chairperson, you also asked in your letter in terms of we have attached, besides the presentation, Chair, there is a narrative document that we put together on governance matters, and I trust that it reached the committee in time to read it, in that we have we've responded to all of the bullet points that you have raised on the second point of your letter. where you asked on overall governance and accountability, where we speak to all of those issues. You asked about status of supply chain management functionality, and you've asked, where was the request on the programs? In the body of the document, page one, you asked for a detailed report on the Black Business Supply Development Program and support for cooperatives. So these few slides, slide 14 to about slide 20, covers that. BBSDB represents Black Business Supply Development Program, where you will see our target in terms of expenditure was it was 100 then. Okay. The target was 140, and the actuals was 137, and the amount 60, the target and 69. And I think we explained that earlier. We break it down. We have a commitment chair that 50% of our interventions will benefit women. And it was also the first year that we introduced that target, and we didn't reach it overall for the year, but we believe that what you measure is what you get, and so the aspiration remains there. 38 out of the 137 were women. And we also have a target of 50% of youth will benefit from our investments. And so 42% of BBSDP beneficiaries were youth. We give a breakdown of the provincial breakdown. And Chair, what all of our figures, if you look at the provincial breakdown quarter after quarter of our work and that of our entities, by far the greatest number of beneficiaries are always in Gauteng. And so it points to us needing to do far harder work and working with our provinces in changing those dynamics. Where there's also a represent you will see in BBSDB, we definitely did not achieve the rural spread as we would have hoped to, with a majority of beneficiaries being city or in urban areas. On slide 16, Chair, we give you a breakdown of the sectors that were supported, and you will see from this that 39% of the BBSDB beneficiaries were in the construction sector, 28% in the services sector, and the next one was manufacturing, and the number and the total number of projects and the value of the support each of the months of the quarter is reflected in the bottom slide. On the cooperatives incentive scheme that you also asked information about, I have talked about the underperformance, Chair, where what the targets and the actuals were in terms of women. You will see that year in the case of cooperatives, we exceeded the 50% target of number of women. The 11 of the 46 were youth. And again, we give the provincial spread, and there the picture is a little bit different, where the majority of CIS beneficiaries were in fact in the Eastern Cape, followed by Northwest and Free State.
and that for CIS, on the other hand, the dynamic is a very different one. I think because the criteria are very, very, very different, where the 65% of the beneficiaries were located in rural areas. Chair, we, in terms of CEDA and CEFA, we have just gave two slides on each. If the committee wants more information, either my colleagues are here to provide that information. We give you the slide one, speaks to the performance of CEDA. It states there's the strategic goal, the number of performance indicators for the quarter, that which were 20, and that 17 were achieved, 17 or 85% were achieved, and 3 or 15% were not achieved, and that there was an over expenditure of 1.5%, which the CFO can talk to. Slide 21 gives an analysis of some of the performance highlights on the number of clients supported through the supply development program, through trade facilitation, through basic entrepreneurial skills development, on partnerships for small business development. Maybe the CEO must speak to what the targets were for that, so that the Honourable Minister can have a sense of how to judge those numbers. And CEDA also routinely asks clients for feedback on the services rendered, and that 98.7% of their users indicated that they were satisfied with the quality of CEDA services, and 76.9% surveyed showed an increase in their turnover, and just over 50% an increase in the number of people employed. And through the CEDA technology program, they had in quarter four created to date 2.582 jobs. On the risk profile, Chair, we give you a little diagram, a heat diagram, the areas that is measured, failure to deliver services to the other end of the market, to inadequate funding, and the blue circle speaks to the inherent risk, and the inner circle to the residual risk. Again, the CEO can speak to that. On CEFA, Chair, we've also just included two slides that talks to the loan book performance, and you will see that there is all of the targets in terms of the loan book were exceeded by far, the number of approvals and disbursements, and I think that in itself needs some explanation. And the number of SMMEs financed and jobs created, the number of SMMEs exceeded as well by 47%. Jobs facilitated, which is encouraging, where the quarter four target was 18,250 and 19,903 was achieved. Then the CEDA dashboard also speaks to development impact. And the black-owned enterprises, youth enterprises, women-owned enterprises, and enterprises in priority areas, all of those targets being exceeded. Township enterprises, not. And people with disabilities were not achieved. And then the impairments, Chair, always raises a concern for us and in the House, and the area of turnaround time is something which even Cabinet monitors, and so on direct loans, the
the turnaround time was able to be to achieve, and one can see from even the wholesale lending, I think there's been an improvement because we monitor that all the time, but we still have not achieved the target. So, Chair, I think there ends our presentation, and Chair, I'd like to submit that we've done our best to respond to all of your questions in the presentation and in the narrative document that we provided. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you so much for the insightful presentation. That's fine. I'd like to know, you said you wouldn't like to give the SIDA rep maybe to Ed, if he has anything to add. If he has, yeah. Let's allow him to speak to us if he has. Okay. Do you have any additions, ma'am?
Maybe what I can do, I can just zoom into the areas, two areas that did you said, perhaps I can expand on, just talking to our risk profile a little bit. I think the diagram that has been shown, it's the diagram that shows our critical risk areas that we are currently monitoring. The first one that is the one that is talking to the servicing of the upper end of the SMEs, historically, and I think even now, SIDA is greatly associated with being a support partner to enterprises below the small size category. It's like from the tip of the small, then to the very small, micro, and informal. And we have been receiving more requests now from the upper end of small to medium enterprises. The numbers are growing. So we are shaping in terms of our capacity to have a means of delivering to this category of enterprises directly than relying mainly on external service providers. So we are taking our business advisors through different kinds of development programs. The other area, of course, it's the area that relates to the retention of the critical skills. The challenge now, which poses a bit of a risk for us, is the fact that now that we are robustly empowering our business advisors to be able to do much in-house, we are realizing that we are becoming a training ground for others out there, especially the private sector, as the private sector is now heavily and actively embarking as well on enterprise support programs. So we are losing our business advisors at a pace higher than we expected. The other area, I think, is the ICT area. In the ICT area, with the network that we have, it's a network that can hold through integration, through a responsive infrastructure in terms of ICT infrastructure. But over a period, we have been kind of sacrificing investing in this area in favor of expanding our investment base towards programs. However, we're realizing at this point that this cannot be for long, and this is an area for which we have been constantly asking for additional funding in our proposals in terms of NTEF submissions, to say we need more funds for us to jack up our ICT infrastructure. And then the other area, I think, which talks to what I've just mentioned, we are mindful of the fact that entrepreneurs out there, they still feel like we are not agile in our responses to them. Our turnaround times are a bit still long, and I can only explain this in relation to the setup in terms of our ICT setup as an enabler, because there are a couple of things we could still do without direct interface with the intrapreneur. If our ICT infrastructure was up to scratch, we could do a number of things online. I think the last two areas that I can mention is the issue of adequate funding as well as the SME support in terms of the procurement payment to SMEs. Adequate funding, though we have an over expenditure which is less than the 2%, I think it's about 1.5. I must mention upfront that this was not of us not tracking what is happening. We had prior an approval from the National Treasury in the previous year of some funds that were advanced to us from previous year budget. And we were often understanding that when we had not used all those funds as we were approved then, we can still use them in the following year. So when we had a pushing demand from the entrepreneurs in terms of especially the Enterprise Development Fund, we felt we can still take an extra mile. So I'm also explaining what one may read in our financials to say there we have a bit of over expenditure. And then, as I said, the SME procurement and payments hotline support service, this is currently at risk in the sense that originally from early parts of the last financial year, we were given an impression that National Treasury is taking over this hotline. So in our budget arrangements, because we had special funds that were arranged for this service, so in our budgets in the following year, we made budget adjustments because we were of the impression this service is now going elsewhere. However, those discussions are not materializing to that plan that was communicated to us, and now we are also not having funds, and that is pushing us to scale down our support in this area. And I think I'm mentioning this because I do understand the impact that would be on entrepreneurs if we were to discontinue the service and there is no other party taking over this service. And I think I'm kind of saying to this structure, perhaps this is an area we need lobbying. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you so much. With that added information, honourable members, I'm now going to CIFA. Oh, CIFA is also here. All right.
Thank you very much, honourable chairperson and members. I'll just highlight. I'll just highlight particularly on the area where we did not do well during the fourth quarter. One area relates to the support we provide to the entrepreneurs that are based in the township. This is the first year in which we have introduced this target, and then we need to be able to ensure we support the township entrepreneurs by ensuring that we identify the opportunities, and we have got a reasonable pipeline going forward, and we hope that this area will increase, particularly those, for example, who are looking for business like the filling stations, etc., in townships, amongst others. The biggest challenge that we also have is funding to entrepreneurs with a disability. This is the target that over a number of years we were not able to really achieve. We tried to then put an intervention last year where we set aside a specific dedicated fund for 30 million, which we launched in Welcome. It was launched by the minister. And then where we are targeting entrepreneurs with disabilities with a tune of 30 million at an interest rate of about 7%. While the uptake has been very low, in terms of the approval to date, it's over of the 30 million that we have provided, over about 14.5 million has been approved. But the take-up in terms of disbursement for money going into the economy is still a challenge that we need to really overcome in that respect. The biggest challenge for the institution is its sustainability, particularly looking at the cost-to-income ratio. The space in which we are in is a very difficult space. Once you land as an institution, you need to try and make sure that you improve your collection ratio. So as a result of this, you'll see the level of cost-to-income ratio in terms of how much does it cost us to really manage the institution, so as the level of impairments, meaning the non-performing loans. We are trying to engage with our clients to say how best can we, if it means that we may restructure the facility for them to be able to manage to pay the facility. And we also understand that the conditions, the economic conditions are also very, very tight for small businesses. This is one of the areas where we are trying to really improve as we move along, because by us able to collect, we can then be able to improve our income, which largely comes from the growth in interest. As you see, we have not really done much in that respect. So the financial relief, you have to look in terms of what are the serious concerns for the institution, for its sustainability, is more in terms of its ability to collect, and how can we then be able to assist the entrepreneurs out there to restructure the facility, as I indicated. The issue of turnaround time has been highlighted. It's one of the areas where we get concern from clients that we take a bit longer to provide the funding that they require, and we identify that there is a need for us to continuously engage with our clientele to assist them as speedily as possible for them, particularly those that get contracts to service, so that we can then be able to assist in that regard. So you will have seen in the highlights of the fourth quarter in other key areas, we are happy that we have achieved the targets, but the concern is largely on the financial perspective. That's the brief I would like to provide. Thank you.
Any other additional information? Chair, I know that the last time the committee wanted some information on the independence of the audit committee, but maybe at the appropriate time you can engage the chairperson. Honourable members, I will now open the floor and for honourable members to interrogate the presentation. After the presentation, we will have additional information. And that also the member. Honourable member McLaughlin. Honourable member, you now. Lee and the Zembu. Honourable member Mtembu. Honourable member. Honourable member?
Chan.
Okay. Honourable member Chan. Honourable member Nukanyani and Honourable member Dwabat. Honourable member Schopenhauer. In that order. And Honourable member, please, as we engage, can you please avoid being personal? Because we're not here for personal matters. And let's also be short and to the point. I think, do you want to speak more?
Okay, fine, that's fine. Short and to the point, so that we can give them enough chance to respond to all the issues that we will be raised. Issues that flow from the presentations. Thank you very much. You may start, Honourable Member McLaughlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The very fact that you must warn us against personal remarks, I think, speaks for itself, ma'am. Let me start. You haven't told us how many questions we may have, and I'm sure all of us have a number of comments and questions, so perhaps you should indicate what limits we have on that.
Let's start by having three questions per member, and then I'll give you a second round, depending on the availability of time, because some of you have indicated that would like to leave early, I know, because you've got to connect your flights today. So, yeah.
Yes, thank
start
you.
Start with three questions per member.
Ma'am, just as a statement, I found it a little confusing the way the presentation was set out. I wasn't always sure what I was actually looking at, because in some instances it seems as though the department is just reporting on the fourth quarter in isolation, and in other instances it looks like we're comparing it to the other three quarters as well. So it's a little hard to know exactly what we're looking at, but hopefully I'm more or less in line with what's going on. My concern, if I can start off on slide 3, where we, if I compare the fourth column with the eighth column, that's the achieved column with the expenditure column, in every instance we seem way off. We achieve 84% of the administration target, but we spend 123.9% of the budget in doing so. This is a huge concern, because we're falling way short of the target and spending way over the budget in doing so. And then, of course, always my question in these instances is, where did the money come from? Was there a legal and lawful environment that took place to provide for these funds, or how was it funded? In policy and research, we achieved 80% of the target, spending 71.6% of the budget. Program design, 71.4% of the target was achieved, spending 93.9% of the budget. Once again, spending way too much to achieve way too little. If I can refer you to, I think it was slide 10, ma'am. I find a few incredible statements here. That the last block, National Informal Business Upliftment Scheme, where the department makes this admission, the non-performance was due to lack of leadership and ownership of the project, under capacity, poor planning and execution of the project. 45.5 million rand, and this is the excuse we give for it. This is really unacceptable, ma'am. Really, the mind boggles when I read these kind of things. When I look at slide 24, and this will be my last one for now, if I understand correctly, and forgive me if I don't, because once again I was a little confused by the way these slides are set up, but in each case here it says, for example, that approvals. Target, 221 million, achieved 385 million, 174%. The department seems to think this is great, they've exceeded their target. But if you lent out 174% of the 100% you had available, again, how did you fund it? And how can this be a good thing? Unless you're getting in other money, are you receiving enough income from the loan refunds and interest that you're receiving to fund this? Or where's it coming from? Because in every instance, it's way over. Disbursements, 162%. Approvals, productive sectors, 127%. SMMEs financed, 140% of the target. Now, that may well be done if each one received less money than was targeted for initially, because this is just a number of SMMEs. But where it comes to the money, as in the top line, I have a huge concern. I don't perhaps understand fully, but that's the way it looks to me on the slide, that you have a target of an amount that you have available to lend out for a particular thing, and you lend out way over that target. Where did the money come from? Please explain. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Honourable Member McLaughlin, for the questions. And number two, Honourable Member Mtembu.
Thank you, Co-Chairperson. Greetings to everybody. My concern is on cooperatives, because it's also one of the core functions of the department. And in terms of the slide 9-10, where on NIBAS that there was underspending, but when there was underspending, when they were supposed to be assisted in terms of the technical assistance and financial support, they were not, I think that their needs were not met. But the introduction of the gazelles, you know, that the money, when it was underspent, and yet these people who had expected to be assisted by the department were not assisted. So I want to know, what is the intention of the department with the NUBAS when their needs are not met, but the introduction of the gazelles. I've heard that there's a new story on the gazelles, but when these needs were not met, and then we introduced something else, you know, and these people are there, they are still expecting to be assisted in a manner that they are to be assisted. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Okay, the chair would like to make a follow-up on this question.
Thank you. On flight number 9, it reflects that the area of under expenditure is on Small Enterprise Development Agency, and then 15 million that was budgeted for NIBAS was then redirected to the National Gazelles. And Treasury approved that. You see, the challenge that we have with this is that the Gazelles are high-performing businesses. And money that is directed to the pro-poor is redirected to focus on the high performing, and those that are down at the lower level just neglected. That is the addition I wanted to make on this one. And on the question that was asked by the first honorable member relates to the manner in which the report is presented to us. The minister spoke at length about ticking the box, but the very same report that is being presented to us is ticking the box. You are only telling us about the number of small businesses that were assisted. You are not telling us about the developmental status of those businesses. And we've been on the field. We know what is happening there.
Thank you. Honorable Member Mabasa.
Thank you very much, colleague chairpersons. My first question is based on the analysis 2016 fourth quarter from the research unit of Parliament. On page 3, where it says that noted that there is an under expenditure, the budget left unspent at the end of financial year has increased from 28.6 million in 2015-16 to 120.9 million in 2016-17. One will want an accounting of these figures. And then the second point will be on slide 4 on what was presented by the department. Once more, my focus and worry is on under expenditure because our department is relatively new. It's a department where we must be forgiven for spending a bit more than underspending, you know. So it's a point of worry. That's based on slide 4. And on slide 7, the reasons for under expenditure, as explained, if more substance can be given to accompany to if more flesh can be given to those reasons, and then there is the worry on expenditure on people with disabilities, which is an under expenditure that the Department of Small Business and Development and cooperatives is one department that should have acute worry about people with disabilities. So it is a department that should be pulling other departments and persuading other departments to spend on people with disabilities. You know, other departments must learn from it. So if they can speak more, it's a challenge to say this is not acceptable. And then my last point is on the training of SMMEs and cooperatives that the failure rate of SMMEs and cooperatives demands that more must be done in terms of supporting them, so that the more the support, the less the failure rate should be. You know, that proportional relationship is should be there. So if, and I also note that Gauteng is one of the provinces that is supposed to have received much support. And I ask myself a question and say, can the department say small SMMEs and cooperatives in Gauteng are successful? Because if the answer is relatively no, then it means we are going into a worse situation where the other provinces are even under-resourced compared to Gauteng. You know, this just shows the enormous challenges that the department faces. Let me end with the question of a need for vehement support and communication. Actually, it should be more under monitoring and evaluation and holding the small businesses and cooperatives by hand with regard to the loans that they take from CIFA, so that CIFA must always be on the lookout of how those that have taken loans are performing, so that if there's a need for support, CIFA must quickly rush in to be there, because we are looking more for successes of these departments. And even the restructuring that the CEO is speaking of, the restructuring of the debt, should then be done under such circumstances at an earlier time before there are failure situations. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you for your intervention. I will now call upon Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. I have three questions, one each for the Department, CEDA and CIFA. For the Department, DG, just in terms of this Gazelle's transfer, the $15 million, I can understand the point that Chairman Bengu mentioned in terms of taking money for the rural to give for the poor to give it to the rich. Not quite like that, of course, but the first question relating to this is, did this not then mean that the Gazelle's budget was increased substantially? Because CEDA had already budgeted for the Gazelles, why did it get an extra $15 million? And what did it use that $15 million for? And can it report, can you report on what is happening with the Gazelles, particularly the 2015-2016 intake that has now been part of the program for 2 years? And we'd very much like to see whether the program is meeting its objectives. The second question, which is directed at CEDA. The point you make about the payments hotline is very concerning, because lack of payment or late payment to small businesses is a huge concern to them and results in many businesses going under. So why was the transfer not made to Treasury of this hotline? What had your department, what had CEDA budgeted for it, and what has been the impact in terms of the lack of service provided as part of this hotline, have you been able to track how many complaints have not been able to be addressed? Obviously, without the hotline, it's difficult to do that. But when do you expect this to be reinstated, whether it be through yourself at CEDA or through the Treasury? And then to CIFA, I recently paid a visit to Zanin, where I visited the Small Enterprise Foundation, which is quite a remarkable organization, because in the last 25 years or so, it has managed to achieve what virtually no other organization in this country has achieved. It has a loan book of 160,000 beneficiaries who are 100% women in 4,000 villages in this country. Its total loan book is worth in the region of 400 million rand, and its impairment rate is, wait for it, less than 1%. Now, that is a figure which I'm sure that CIFA would die for if it could achieve it across its entire loan book. So I have two questions. The first is, why is CIFA stalling in extending a further loan to the Small Enterprise Foundation, which I understand is in the negotiation phase with CIFA, to extend it a further loan at a preferential interest rate? And secondly, what learnings is CIFA taking out of its interaction with the Small Enterprise Foundation? What are the success factors behind CIFA, the Small Enterprise Foundation's ability to loan money to an organization that then on-loans it to 160,000 ladies who then all pay the money back? Thank you.
Thank you for your intervention. Honorable Member Snukwanyane.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Some of the questions I had, I think my colleagues have actually helped because I had quite a lot of them. But I just want to touch on this under expenditure and over expenditure. You know, I just want to add one element to the over expenditure. When the targets have not been reached. More so, I just want to add the element of it's been actually for the administration program. And I think that, for me, is a problem. And then on slide number 6, that very first one on compensation of employees, if you can just give clarity on this expenditure higher than anticipated as more positions were filled in quarter 4. For program 1. My question would be then, were these positions new? Because if they are not new, I would imagine that there would be a budget from the previous, which had been planned. Because my understanding is that for post, you budget. So the budget, if it was not used in the previous quarter, obviously it should have been there rather than So just to get whether you underspent on this particular one in the previous one. My second question, trying to check which ones. Oh, okay, the other one on slide number 8, on goods and services. It says the over expenditure was largely due to expenditure relating to the Global Entrepreneurship Congress, which was held in March 2017. Now, does the department have a budget for conferences and congresses and workshops? Because I'm just imagining that now it's a congress, it's under goods and services. Therefore, I would like to know if there was no budget for this or were there too many other congresses, because I really expect this to be part of your budget. That would be my second one. Let me just check which one. Okay, my third one. Trying to prioritize. I know one of my colleagues has asked this question about the projects specifically for Gauteng. So my question then would be, these projects, Does this include the projects that the provinces and local government also initiate? Because I know that the departments of economic development at provincial level do have a lot of projects. Does it mean this allocation? And if so, why allocate so much to provinces that already are able to initiate their own projects and programs? Thank you. I'll end there.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Now over to Honorable Member
Kwabaza,
to be followed by Honorable Member Shoppes.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Let me just make two general comments first. That we note that your overall spending was quite high in 2015-16 and then declined in 2016-17. Secondly, your underspending was low 2016-15 and then rose very sharply 2016-17. Just overally. If you could comment on that, because it's quite a worry, just those two, on those two. On the on slide six, I'm not sure whether this question has been asked. You, on capital assets, budgeted for 1.7, paid 2 million. Why? How did that happen? And how did it happen that you ended up paying 300,000 rand more on that? And on the same slide, if you could explain the debt written off for the high school learners, what exactly is what was that for, and how much was that debt? On slide 8, that would be my third for now, the vacant posts, three categories, DDG, data capturer, and claims processors. Claims processors, very important, because it then relates to your capacity as well to pay within the 30 days deadline. So if you could explain to us where are the processes now of addressing those vacancies? Because in one of your, on the same page, you are giving as reasons under National Information Business Upliftment Scheme, you are giving as reasons of non-performance, lack of leadership, ownership of projects, under capacity, poor planning, etc., and so on and so on and so on. And those two are linked. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Member, thank you, Honorable Member Kwabaza. Honorable Member Shopestole.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I just want to acknowledge that this is a baby department and it needs babysitting. So I would like you to go back home, check all recommendations of your internal auditor and your AG and our input here, and make sure that by October, end of October,
you have made a lot of improvement. Because I understand that you might have underspent because you were trying to be very cautious because you are new. You didn't want to start with a bad name. But I want you to improve by the end of October. When you come again in October, I would like you to bring how much have you set aside for women's empowerment, women and youth. But don't combine them, women one side, youth one side. I also want to have a list of your beneficiaries in Limpopo and Mpumalanga only for now. And the lady who was lobbying, I don't know, there was a lobbyist here. She said she was coming to lobby us. I support your lobby because there is what the president said is radical economic transformation. And to me, in this country, if there is any radicalism, I want to see it in the Department of Small Business. So you need to spend your money and you need to be funded thoroughly. And you need to comply with the laws, you know, PFMA and Treasury regulations. You must not imitate Treasury, what it's doing, the recklessness. I don't want that one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If I'm also allowed, may I ask a few questions? Honorable members, I would like the department to share with us their progress in achieving its MTSF goals in, we now meet 2017, but why I'm saying that is because we're now 18 months towards the end of the MTSF period. So just to share with us, because that information you would have. The progress in achieving your MTSF goals. Remember, I'm going to be very specific. Promoting economic growth, just your success there. Because you remember, when I started, I spoke about an impact. Money that has been provided, but also we follow the money to see value for money. So this is the impact that I would want, the feedback I would like to get on the impact you are making in terms of your work and the budget that has been made available to you. Improvement, okay, job creation, improved public service, because that's an NDP goal. And investor confidence. Just any progress that you're making in these areas that I've spoken to. And then on your personnel administration, in terms of this fourth quarter report, you have a vacancy rate which is at 16.3%, exceeding the 10% norm. I would like to know if you have a recruitment committee that would make sure that there is also compliance in this area of work. Now, you have also 10 employees additional to the establishment. Comes from your quarterly report. 3 against your program, 1 administration, additional employees. Then 7 against your enterprise development entrepreneurship. Now, this one leads me to ask you a question, because for your strat plan to be successfully implemented, you do need to have personnel. But your personnel would then be determined by your organogram. Do you have an adopted organogram that was approved by your public service, it's DPSA? Because your organogram has got to be approved so that you avoid situations where you have additional people who will then appoint outside the organogram. All right. And then, again, I see you have, okay, the under expenditure. which is at 2.5%. Why I'm bringing this up, I had said the one that is acceptable is 2%, but now you are new and then you're starting to get out of that, so we want to caution you so that as you start, we then, you know, caution you and also request that you give an explanation and what is it that you're going to do to avoid this moving forward, because we would want compliance, 100% compliance. I mean, we are adults when we are here, and we've got to understand like adults. When there is law, no one has got the permission to violate that law. We've got to respect our own laws so that we can also be respected, respect the laws. So this is a violation of the PFMA. On program 1, 9.4, due to high vacancy rate, I think this is an over expenditure. And then on goods and services, there's an over expenditure of 4.5 million. And then on your cooperatives, support and development, there's an under expenditure at 549, is it 1,000, or I think it's, is it 1,000? Million, oh sorry, yeah, sorry, I didn't write it correctly here. Million, which is at 4.5. This also talks to your violation of the PFMA, but also violation of the of Treasury regulations. So if you could respond to that one. The last one would be on your targets. You set yourselves, remember we were not there, you went out, carefully applied your minds and agreed on these targets, which is 31, but then you achieve 7, come again? Is there anyone? Okay, sorry, I thought there was someone correcting me. 31, and then you then achieve 70. This is serious. Remember, you've been there every day, and you committed yourself to this. So 17, but when you look at your expenditure, ne, at the end of that financial year, your expenditure is, has this question been asked?
No, ma'am, so the previous year, 15-16.
I'm talking 15-16 years. Yes, I'm talking 15-16. But your spending outcome is at 99.8%. There's a serious mismatch. Mismatch between your expenditure and this. What happened? Where did the money go? These are the things that we're looking for, because if you had committed yourself to a program and you've linked your budget to your program and your targets, which is prescribed, now why do you achieve 99% expenditure outcome and you are then achieve 54.8% targets? Now the accounting officer will have to explain, because this is an anomaly. It is a serious violation, also of the budget principles. Where did the money go? If you say 99 and then 54, you achieve 54, there's a serious, it's a serious concern that we would like to raise with you. Yes. We will then hand over to you to provide responses. And also in your responses, I don't want to lose members, if you can be short and to the point.
Thank you, Chair. I'll respond to the questions in the order they were asked, and just ask my colleagues to assist. The what we endeavoured to just, Chair, I said at the beginning in terms of the first question that we're responding to quarter four, but I guess in the explanations and the reason for the variance, when we tried to give assurance, we were linking it to what happened. For example, when I said on research, that report, the research had been done. But it is essentially for quarter four. Then there was a question on question three in terms of the huge discrepancy between 84% achieved and the
123% expenditure. I thought that I explained that those variances in this slide where I explained what the expenditures were for, but I'll ask the CFO who's sitting next to me to talk to it. But also to go back here, Chair, and say, even though we say we did not achieve, we partially achieved one target or partially achieved two targets overall, it does not mean that we did not spend money in that area. So I think that when we look at the expenditure, we have to look at the partial achievement. I had indicated partial achievement is where we had achieved at least 75% of the target. But I'm going to ask the CFO just to explain some of that discrepancy on the previous slide. Yeah, that's not slide three.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm struggling to see the screens. In terms of the spending in quarter four, I suppose it will try. I'm going to try and respond to all those that relate to spending. Specifically, say on compensation of employees during the adjusted estimate, we had Treasury take away from the department $7 million in compensation of employees, which then impacted on the projections that we had initially submitted to Treasury. So what then happens with your cash flow projection is that you spend according to what you have submitted, and you draw down according to what you have submitted. So we had a revised cash flow projection that suggested that we would spend less in compensation of employees. So when we overspend in compensation of employees, drawdown in administration, it wasn't so much that you overspend overall as a department on compensation of employees, as has been alluded to by Honorable Mabasa. We overall underspend in compensation of employees. It's just the realignment of the cash flow for it to be matched to the period that we were spending in. If you look at quarter three, I'm also going to also try and respond to the issue on how come you are saying you needed to, do you have overspent on the GEC? GEC was a project that was never funded, but however we reprioritized funding within the department, the approval was granted in quarter three, but we only received the invoices in quarter four when the money was expected or anticipated to be paid for in quarter three, hence the overspenditure in there. And equally so with the transfers, when we and possibly talk to when in 16-17 we received for the first time money from National Treasury relating to the National Informal Business Upliftment Scheme, as well as the Enterprise Incubation Program for the first time in 16-17, which amounted to about $150 million. And if you isolate the two programs from the rest of the department in terms of new money coming into the department, that's where we struggled, hence the upshoot in terms of spending. And it might not be acceptable that we could not spend all that new money that we received, but the reality on the ground is that we had challenges putting systems in place, implementing and awarding in that same period for us to be able to disburse the amount in line with the allocations that we had received as the department. EIP, the target in terms of numbers was reached. However, the disbursements did not happen for the entire financial year. We did the disbursements in the fourth quarter only. Unfortunately, with NIBAS, we did not disburse a cent in terms of procuring the infrastructure required by the informal businesses, which we're not proud of as a department, to a point that the towards the end of the financial year, when we realized that we would not spend everything on there, and yet there was an existing contract program, which is the Gazelles program, that was not funded. It was approved, but it didn't have allocations received. We got into a contract with the service provider, wherein there is a dual responsibility by CEDA and ourselves. CEDA pays a portion which is related to the administrative cost. We pay to the soft skills, the empowerment of the other Gazelles. Remember what we had, the top 40 out of a pool of 200. So everybody else that's in that pool needed to be trained. So we contributed the 15 million that we didn't have as part of our baseline. Hence, we requested National Treasury to allow us to redirect money from the underperforming program, which just happened to be NIBAS. And that approval was granted to us to redirect the money to CEDA for them to be able to meet their commitments in relation to developing capacity of Gazelles. The other issue that was raised was, I think, trying to respond in general to where did the money come from if you have overspent and your targets are not fully achieved. Some of the reasons we have provided in there is that it's not so much that we spend money we didn't have. It's that we had money, but that we had sought or requested earlier from National Treasury in terms of cash flow projections that we had not spent, and it was in the PMG account that we spent or we paid for in the quarter that we had not anticipated to pay for the money. That the Mabaso also then asked, I think I've responded to it. I'm just going to repeat myself just so my thinking is complete. When that Mabaso says, did you upshoot, there's a huge discrepancy in terms of upshoot, you realize that the NIBAS underspend by 53 year for overall, 53 million, and EIP underspend by 26 million, so which makes up the bulk of that 120. So our compensation of employees for the 16-17 and goods and services in terms of underspending are roughly around the same similar figure compared to the 15-16 that was being cited, I suppose also responding to the concern that Chairperson had raised. So our major underperformance is really in the new funding that we received at the beginning of the financial year for NIBAS and EIP, that we then have to make sure we actually catch up and make sure that we release funds into the communities that are waiting or expecting the money to be disbursed.
I will take it from there. Also to say that the new funding that we got, initially no new part, there was no new money available, and it is when Cabinet considered the budget in February that we were informed that we were going to get the 150 million. So there actually wasn't a long lead time, and we agree with the questions that were asked. Oops, with regard to NIBAS, that NIBAS and the Gazelles target completely different groups. And at the time when we, 2015-16 was the first year that we introduced NIBAS, and we were really proud of our achievements then. We did it in partnership with the WR CETA, Wholesale and Retail CETA. And therefore, because that worked so well and got so much support, I mean, Treasury too was excited by it, and the first time we got funding for NIBAS. It's on record elsewhere. Then WRC to get into trouble. By the beginning of the 2016-17 financial year, so the Project Management Office for Implementation is in WRC. They get placed under administration. So
we and South Africa, as I say, with higher education, we study port to higher education. So for about a quarter, we try and we write and we try and urge and what is, but we don't get any response. And then we went into Plan B, and it's only by the end of August that we were then able to transfer the project staff that were at WR CETA there to implement the NEBUS program. We were able to transfer them to us. So we had this huge backlog. And we had to develop new, because this, now remember, this entity was implementing for us is now no longer available. And we then had to do this on our own. So I'm saying those are the dynamics. Now we're sitting with 95 million rand. And it's very apparent, becomes very apparent to us by the third quarter that we are not going to be able to spend all this money. So we have a choice between returning all of this money to the fiscus or, in fact, letting this money go into another area where there is need and there is implementation capacity. And it is based on that that we then ask Treasury for a rollover. To the Gazelles and Simpetia, CFO, have explained what our funding commitments were in relation to that of CEDA. I don't know, Chairman, we make the comment about poor planning, etc. And because, Chair, often in reporting you are inclined, often as officials we externalize the problem. But I put out those reasons there because we say this is a new program. Here we had relied earlier on the WR CETA to do the implementation. We are now required to change gear and do it ourselves and do planning we had not thought of, and therefore we take responsibility for some of that. And I can tell you that as DG, when the problem became evident, we called people into a room and say, now what is the problem? We try to